Turn to Psalms, if you will, please. Isaiah chapter number 9. Got Psalm 119 on my mind. But Isaiah chapter number 9, I'll say it again. And I've got a little while this morning to share with you something that's on my heart, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. And you find this wonderful prophecy. I've always loved the book of Isaiah. And I have in days gone by, gone all the way through the 66 books of Isaiah, preaching it in another church. And it was a wonderful, blessed experience for me and for the church. I hope you'll read these Old Testament books. Our friends are not here who've been visiting with us this some time now, but one of the brothers asked me last Sunday, did I have a message from the book of Habakkuk? And I said, I preach from the book of Habakkuk, but right off, I don't remember any particular message. And he said, well, you ought to preach from that. And I said, well, do you have a message? I'm always ready for a message. And he said, no, but he said, in reading it, he said, it sounds just exactly like today. And that's true. Old Testament survey, you say, well, I'm not interested in that. But these things happen for our example, but also for our admonition. In the Old Testament, wonderful Bible prophecies about the day you're living in. Habakkuk's one of those. And I mean, he gives that he was perplexed and wondered in the very beginning chapter, what in the world is going on? Why is this that the wicked seem to be in control and God's people are under repression and persecution, everything else? But by the end of the book, he had an answer. So if you feel a challenge there, you go home, read the book of Habakkuk, and better yet, enroll in the Bible Institute, and you'll go through the whole book along with all the other 12 minor prophets and the major prophets as well. But Isaiah was written 700 years before Christ was ever born, and it just astounds me as what's here. I'm going to read just the one verse this morning in Isaiah chapter number 9. Would you please look at this verse that Brother Joe Berry just sang about, and what an awesome thing, what an awesome song again. And Miss Lynetta, thank you so much for that wonderful song as well. Notice in Isaiah chapter number 9, in verse number 6, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I'm focusing this morning, as God would lead our heart, to the first word in those five names that are attributed to our Lord. You remember that on last Sunday, I mentioned to you that five is the number of grace. And so it is here that there are five names given to our wonderful Lord here. And I want us to bow together now, and we want to look this morning at that first word, wonderful. He is wonderful. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for loving us so much that you gave your wonderful Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that wonderful sacrifice sufficient for all the sins of all the ages, that wonderful Savior and Shepherd of our soul, that wonderful coming King. Lord, I thank you for all you've done for us. And God, I pray right now that your anointing and power be upon me. I pray, God, you'd speak to hearts. God, speak to your people. And Lord, in these few moments, I pray that our hearts shall be tuned, as the old song said, to sing your grace. Help us to turn our eyes upon Jesus, that all the things of this earth would grow strangely dim. And our Father, I do bow before you this morning and to confess and acknowledge there's no good thing in me. But thank you for saving me. Thank you for calling me to preach. And thanking you for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. God, speak through me and to me now. And I'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I pointed out to you that there are five names here given to our Lord. As you know, there are several names in the Bible. I had somebody knock on my door one day, and they were Jehovah's Witnesses. And the guy said, we want to talk to you. And I said, well, I'm a Baptist preacher. And he said, well, I used to be a Baptist. And then I learned something. I said, what'd you learn? And he said, I learned the real name of God. I said, you did? I said, what is it? Well, he told me Jehovah. And I said, well, you know, Yahweh is a good word. And then we went through for just a few minutes the many names of the Lord. And I said, you know, he's identified in so many different ways. And he came, the Bible says that Jesus was called Jesus because he would save his people from their sin, not works, not anything, not by works of righteousness we've done, but Jesus died to save sinners, Paul said, of whom I'm chief. Well, he didn't like much of what I was saying, so he left. But here are five names that the prophet said he'll be identified with. And without you ever knowing it, I'm sure sometime in your Christian experience, you've called him wonderful. Is that so? Raise your hand. I know it is. Oh, God, you're so wonderful to me. You've blessed me so. I'm sure that somewhere along the line in your prayer life and in your Christian life, you have asked God for direction and wisdom, and he became your counselor. How many of you have asked him for wisdom, direction, and he answered that prayer? He is our wonderful counselor. He's given us wisdom, direction. I don't know anything except what he showed me and taught me from the Word of God. He guides me into all truth. And then in this wonderful passage of scripture, he says that he's going to be called the mighty God. How many of you have ever seen God do anything in your life that only God could do? Raise your hand. Oh, hallelujah. I'm feeling something right now. He's done something that nobody else could do for you. And I'm thankful for it. I mean, he's recent this past week, God did that for me. And I know he's done it. When I was in Israel, and I could feel myself get weaker and weaker. My body began to tingle all over. Everything began to turn white. And I know Regina picked the phone up. She called and I passed out. But I mean, when they came in, they were praying. And when they picked me up and laid me on that bed, immediately I felt something go through my body. I know God touched me there. I never bled again in Israel. Now, he allowed it to happen again in New Jersey for one reason, and that is so you could help me pray and pray for me. But also, we met so many wonderful Christians there. He really helped me there with folks, and it was a blessing from heaven. Oh, how many of you could say that he's been mighty God in your life? I know you can. But oh, listen, how many of you, when you felt so alone, you knew this. You knew, like he said in the Lord's Prayer, our Father. Oh, how many of you have ever recognized him as a loving, kind Father? Would you raise your hand and say amen with me? Oh, listen, and you know, there's been times of turmoil in my life and your life when it's come sadness and death and sickness and heartache and trouble. But somewhere in the dark of night, God the Holy Spirit spoke peace to your heart. Oh, I remember when our little girl Christy died, my heart was wrecked. I mean, and my wife, and it was just so hard for us as young people and our little girl to die. But in that very next day after she died that night, I opened my Bible and it just fell open to John 14. And he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself that where I am, there you may be also. And he said, Billy, don't you worry about Christy. She's with me right now and you'll get to be with me in a little while. And I tell you, he spoke peace to my heart. How many of you have ever prayed and he gave you peace of God that passed all understanding? Will you raise your hand? Thank God for that. We've called him that. Didn't even know maybe it was in the Bible. We've called him that. But here, the word wonderful. Notice the word wonderful has 9 letters in that word. That's the fruit of the Spirit. All that the Holy Ghost of God can do was in Jesus. The Bible said that he had the Holy Spirit of God without measure. And what a wonderful thing. And Jesus testified that he could do nothing of himself. He did it through the Father and through the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God to be our example, that in human body we are blessed and we work through the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. But I want you to this morning real quickly to look at your Bible and let me just share something with you. And the word wonderful, those 9 letters, I'm going to give you a little acrostic, means I'll take every letter and help us to remember some things about our Lord and how wonderful he is. I want to say to you in the first place, he was wonderful in his creation. I read to you last week, John chapter 1, where he said that in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. That's Jesus. Jesus is the Word. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is the Word of God. And it says that everything that was made, that there was nothing made without him. He made all things. And then it says in Colossians, by him all things consist, which means he keeps everything going. And I thought, as I think about his awesomeness, his wonder in creation, wonderful means when you have wonder, it means to stand in awe or in absolute just unbelief. And it says he is wonderful. Full, meaning he's full of wonder. He's full of awesomeness. He's full of just indescribability to know how to rightly tell how wonderful he is. But I want to say he's wonderful in his creation. And I'm just going to take two words and talk about that in his creation. I want to talk to you about the vastness of his creation and the variety of his creation, just really. When you think about it and think about those just two aspects, and even at that, I want to just think about our world and then the word water, his creative act. I did a little research on, and Brad will be proud of me, on Google. Did you know I don't know exactly who he is, but Google knows everything just about. I don't know if it's so or not. I've got a Webster's Dictionary, now I got a Google, and so I look it up. But mostly what I found has I've validated other ways. But you know, I got to think, how many of you have ever, and some of you never have, but how many of you have ever picked up a 5-gallon bucket full of dirt or sand? Anybody in here done that besides me? How many of you would testify it's heavy? Have you ever thought about how many 5-gallon buckets of dirt or sand or gravel there are on this globe that we live on called Earth? I'm talking about now the vastness of his creation. He spoke this world into existence just like that. And he created the stars and the rivers and the stream and the vegetation and then animal life and all those things. And he spoke into existence. I do personally believe in the 6th day of creation, 7th day he rested. I believe he spoke it all into existence. And I got to thinking about the world. And here's the amazing thing. I looked this number up, and it's hard for me to comprehend numbers, and I know it's going to be hard for you. I want you to be kind of like Mikey, you know, with the Ollis family. He's a wonderful, I love Mikey, and he has some disabilities, but I think he's got more ability than he has disability. But he and Brother Gary Wood, our preacher friend, are really good friends, and they just kind of pick at one another, and they were somewhere, and Brother Frank Thacker had up a tent, a gospel tent, and it was big, it hold 300 people, but it had red and white stripes. That's what the top of it looked like. And they were sitting there, and Mikey was playing with his device, and Gary looked at him and said, "Mikey, how many red and white stripes are on this tent?" And he said, Mikey looked at it from one end to the other, and then from that end back to the other, and he said, "A lot." Isn't that a good answer? There's a lot. What I know about the world is there's a lot of it. You think about it. I just thought, I said, what if anybody's ever calculated the weight of the earth? I know a 5-gallon bucket of dirt, and I know there's a lot of that around the world. Did you know that they estimate that the weight of the earth, listen to this now, is 13 billion, billion tons. Not 13 tons, like the song says, not 13 billion tons, but 13 billion, billion tons is the weight of this earth. You say, Brother Billy, that's amazing. It really is, but what's the big deal? Job chapter 26, verse 7. And it took educated people, at least until the day of Christopher Columbus, to realize this truth. Job said in Job chapter 26, verse 7, that he hangeth the earth on nothing. If I had one of those oranges back there like I thought I was going to do, but senior memory, I forgot my orange. I was going to hold up an orange, and I was going to turn it loose and let it fall because there's nothing here but air. And did you know that this 13 billion, billion ton ball of dirt is hanging on nothing? There's nothing holding this earth up. It's just out here in the middle of nowhere. You can go around the world. You'll never find any kind of superstructure, no kind of wires, no kind of structure holding up. 13 billion, billion ton ball of dirt hanging in the air. You say, well, what's it hanging on? Nothing. That's what Job said. Job said it's hanging on nothing except the sovereign power of a holy God. Oh, you think about him wonderful in his creation. You think about it. Oh, listen, our sun that set off out there is 93 million miles away, and yet we're warmed by it. The other day they had one of those eruptions on there, and they said it'll get to us in several days, and you'll be able to sense it or feel it, and it may create even some of the like the northern lights in our, I think it's already passed now, but you might see a little green in our atmosphere. But the sun is 93 million miles away, and that's the only thing keeps us warm. You get up in the morning, it may be 42 degrees or 30 degrees or whatever, but at my house, I watch, and it's a little after 7:30, somewhere along in there now, the sun's coming up. And as soon as that sun comes up, and it in our living room, there's windows all the way around it, and if I don't have the heat turned up, you walk in there, it's kind of cool. But when that sun comes up, as soon as it breaks across the trees of my neighbor's house and it comes through my window, I can walk over there and I can feel it warmth. 93 million miles away. God, He's wonderful in His creation. And do you know that if we were just a mile or two closer to the sun, we would incinerate, we'd burn up. If we were a mile or two further away from the sun, that we would freeze to death. And so He spoke the sun into existence and put it back. Oh, by the way, I got to wondering, well, if the earth is 13 billion tons, how big is the sun? I couldn't even say the number of the weight of the sun. But I did find this out. This blows my mind. Now, I know it's hard for you to comprehend. I can't comprehend it, but all I want you to know is a lot. Did you know that they say the size of the sun, you could put 1.3 million of our Earths inside the sun? This ball of dirt, you could put 1.3 million of them inside the sun. That's a lot. He's wonderful in His creation, unbelievable in His creation. In our galaxy, there are estimated to be 100 billion stars in our galaxy. In the Milky Way alone, there are 100,000 billion in that galaxy. And there are, this was a scientist said, as far as they know, there are thousands upon thousands of galaxies out there. And every time we invent a more powerful telescope, we see more. It seems to be limitless. Our sun is 238,900 miles from the earth part of the year. Sometimes it's 363 miles because it travels in an elliptical circle. It's an awesome thing. And, you know, think about all those stars in our galaxy, 100 billion stars. And the Word of God says that He calls them all by name. Now you can send somebody $95 and they're going to name a star after you. I don't know how much they want, but if you want a star named after you, send me $10. I'll call it Bubba. You know, going to name a star after you. There's plenty of them up there. They can take, you know, they get $99.99 for it. They get a lot of money if they got $99.99 from every star. But here's the thing. The Bible says that He calls them all by name. We named our planets and maybe a few of the stars, but He knows them all. And He calls them all by name. Wonderful in His creation, the world. Then I got to think about water. Water is absolutely essential to life. You can fast for 40 days, and I know that. You can fast for 40 days, but you can't go that long without water. You have to have water to live. I got to thinking, and I don't remember much hardly about school, but I remembered something they said one time in public school that blew my mind. And in our science class, our teacher said, there's no new water. You're drinking water right now that the pharaohs drank in Egypt. That kind of amazed me. Did you know that? Water. On this earth, God created the water, and it goes through that process of evaporation, condensation, up and down, up and down. And I said, well, to be sure, they calculated everything else. Did you know that on this the surface of this earth, there are 326 million trillion, gallons of water. Brother Terry and I would like to fish at every bit of that if we could before Jesus come. 326 million trillion gallons of water. And I do know, and you know, some of you know, that a gallon of water weighs about 7 pounds. It's always amazed me that when it rains 2 inches deep, or 3 inches deep, or a hurricane 15 inches deep, how to fix our planet. And I wonder how many gallons of water it was. But here's the thing that really amazed me. Before it was on the earth, it was hanging in our atmosphere. And so I got to wondering how much water is hanging around this atmosphere that's included in that figure. And here's what they say. And this was a off the Google, but it was a scientific fact. There are 37.5 million billion gallons of water in our atmosphere around this earth at any particular time. Because, you know, it goes through the process of evaporation and then condensation, but it's up there. And at any particular time, there are 37 billion gallons of water in the air all the way around this planet. And here was the statement that I wrote it in big letters because the scientist said it. He said, in fact, there is enough water hanging in the atmosphere around this earth that if it all fell at one time, it would cover the whole earth and not a mountain would be showing. Duh, that's already happened one time. They don't believe in a worldwide flood, but scientists say there's enough water up there. And the Bible said he opened the fountains of the deep and he opened the windows of heaven and he covered everything, and everything in whose nostrils the breath of life died except for the ones that were in the ark. Oh, he's awesome in his creation and the vastness of it. Vastness of it. But the variety of it, here's what amazes me. The variety of his creation. There are 10 quintillion, that is a 10 with 18 zeros behind it. There are estimated to be 10 quintillion insects on this earth. And we just call them bugs. Because we could, there's no other way to name it. But they're everywhere. And on the surface of this earth, there are estimated to be 10 quintillion insects, a 10 with 18 zeros behind it. And here's the amazing thing. There's so many different varieties of those. Why didn't he just make a big red ant and leave off the fire ants? Why did he have fire ants, black ants, red ants, army ants? All those ants. Why? Variety. He just created so much variety. So many different. And here's a unique thing, that among those certain species of red ants, there's not one red ant like another red ant. They're all unique. Same way with you. Of all the billions of people on the face of the earth, there's not another person who's ever lived that was just like you. I mean, from Adam to now, there's never been anybody just like you. You're different. Now, Kate and Chris, they're close. But not just alike. I've been there past 24 years, and unless they're standing close together, I can't tell who's who. I'm not sure Tabitha can. But God knows them. And the thing about it is, if he knows all those stars and calls all those stars by name, did you know he knows every one of us? He's unique in his creation, wonderful in his creation because of the great variety. He didn't make this world boring. There, I preach on the birds. There are 400 billion birds on this earth. 400 billion birds, all different, different species, but every bird is different. Mammals, wild mammals, 130 billion animals on this earth. Here's the amazing thing. Birds, animals, insects, everything. God has to feed them every day, and he doesn't have a problem doing it. What a difference he makes. All the variety of birds and animals and things, and God created. The Bible said he created all those things for our pleasure, but he also, when he told Adam, that they were created for him. Even the herbs. I didn't even talk about the microorganisms that you can't see, the fish of the sea, and those that are down in the depths of the sea that nobody's ever seen. All the vastness of his creation. It amazes me. how he did that and the variety of it, how he did that. I've got to hurry. Is it after 12 o'clock already? You only got 8 letters to go. Let's finish it. And I'll do it quickly. Oh, he's wonderful in the orchestration of nature and human history. Did you know that the Bible says, by him all things consist? You understand this. The smallest particle is an atom, and the atom, there's a neutron, electron, proton. Earth can explain all to it better than I can. But inside of that little proton, inside of that little atom, there's movement. And he takes those things that you cannot see with human eyes, and everything in the world's made up of that. And he said in the Word of God that he's made everything you see from things that cannot be seen. Isn't it amazing what the Bible teaches us? Everything that you see is made up of things that you can't see. He made that. And it's moving. And we're on this earth, and we're revolving, we're rotating all at the same time. And if it were not for gravity, we'd be flung off out yonder in space somewhere. But he keeps it just right, keeps the sun the right distance away. He orchestrates all of nature. The Bible said he makes it rain on the just and unjust, makes the tides go in and out, makes the sun rise and set. He's wonderful in his orchestration of nature and of human history. The letter N, he was wonderful in his nativity, born of a virgin, born in a manger. I heard David Jeremiah today in one of his little devotionals. He just blessed me, and I thought, I am so dumb. Why did I never think about that? He said the manger, we learned in Israel, was more than likely a cave, and it had no door. And he said it still doesn't have a door. He didn't have a door so anybody that wanted to come see Jesus could come see him. Then he shut him in, had him where anybody could go and come. And same way now, you can go and come. There's no door, but he was born of a virgin, became God and man. D, in wonderful, he was wonderful in his death. No human being has ever died like Jesus the human. He said, no man takes my life from me. You know, they could have beat him. They could have dismembered his body, and he wouldn't have died. He didn't die from loss of blood. He didn't die from that hideous beating, the cat of nine tails, or any of that. When it came time, he dismissed his spirit, the Bible said. No man had ability to kill him, but he said, I lay my life down. His death was wonderful. And he did that for one reason. He said, I've come to give my life a ransom. I did not come to live, I came to die. The whole purpose of his birth is that he could die and be buried and rise again. His death was wonderful in what it accomplished. The Bible says that he was buried, but he was raised. What a wonderful thing. That brings me to the letter R. Let me do the E first. He was wonderful to his entrance into the lower part of the earth. The Bible says that when he died on that cross, he dismissed his spirit, but he went into the lower parts of the earth. He preached to the captives that were there, and then led captivity captive. He took them into his very presence of God. And then Isaiah says, hell hath enlarged herself. That place that was called paradise, there were two divisions to it. And up until the death of Christ, those who were believers were in one side. Those who were lost were in the other side. They could see one another as Lazarus and the rich man. They could see one another. But the Bible says that when he died, he went into captivity, led captivity, and he brought out those men who were in captive, those souls that were in captive. And now hell hath enlarged itself. They are in the very presence of God. He's wonderful in his death. His death was not the end. His death was the very beginning for us. It's through his death that we have life. Notice the letter R, the resurrection. Wonderful in his resurrection. We've been there. Boy, I tell you, the most moving thing, Chorazin was awesome to me because it testifies of what unbelief will do for you. But I won't go into that. Brad mentioned that in the message, but that empty tomb, they had a place there where he would more than likely lay in that grave, that stone tomb. But he was resurrected. He came out of that grave. The angel didn't open the door to let him out, didn't open roll the stone back to let him out. He rolled the stone back so they could see he wasn't there. He'd already come out of there. Came through that solid rock somehow or another, and he came out, and he said, I'm he that was dead, and I am alive, and I'm alive forevermore. Forevermore. He lives. His resurrection's awesome. And the wonderful thing about the resurrection, he said, because I live, you can live also. The letter F. He's wonderful in his fulfilled promises to the saints of God. He told those people who were with him at the time of his death, he said, in a little while, you'll not see me, but then in a little while, you'll see me again. He kept that promise. He said, when I go back to heaven, and he ascended back to heaven, he said, I'll send the Comforter on the day of Pentecost. Holy Spirit of God came, empowered them, changed them. And oh, he kept his promises. His promises are always true. You can believe he's going to fulfill every promise he's ever made. He said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I don't care who's in the White House. They cannot prevail against the church of the living God. Say amen. Amen. Because we're not the head. He's the head. It's not our church. It's his church. And he has a purpose. And he's going to fulfill his purpose. Oh, my friend, I'd love to spend some time there, but I don't have time. The letter U is a word that we don't use very often, but it's in the Word of God. It's unction. It means power. He was wonderful in the power that he demonstrated in his life. He was wonderful in the power that he gave to his disciples. They were fishermen. That didn't mean that all fishermen are ignorant and unlearned, but he said they were. These fishermen were ignorant and unlearned. And that didn't mean they were mentally retarded or anything. Ignorant means you just don't know something. They had never been trained in the synagogue training of the Pharisees and all that. And yet they knew the scriptures. They quote the scriptures. And they had power. They had power. Amazing power. He was promised his power to the disciples. And they received it. You shall receive power in me and you'll become witness in me. And they did that. They had the power of God. And that same power and that unction is real today. It's in us. It's in this world. And I thank God for that. There's power to live for Christ, power to witness for Christ, power to do the things Christ wants you to do. You can do anything God wants you to do. The letter L, the last letter in this word, wonderful. He was wonderful in his leaving. I've often wanted to be at Calvary. I've often wanted to be in some of those wonderful biblical scenes. But wouldn't it have been something to stand there after 40 days? After he'd been resurrected and he ascended back to the Father, I believe, and then he came back, but he was with his disciples for 40 days. And they took him out and he gave them the charge of what they were supposed to do. Don't tear from Jerusalem till you be endued with power and so on. And then the Bible said, and while he was there with them, he was taken up into the clouds out of their sight. And the picture is so wonderful to me. It's kind of like Brother Tom Gillum. The disciples all gathered and he's talking to them and all of a sudden he just begins to rise. And they've seen him resurrect the dead. They've seen him heal lame limbs. They've seen it, but they're standing there and he's just going up out of their sight. And I see a picture like Brother Tom Gillum describes. Mouth open, scratching head, wondering what happened. And while they stood gazing, the Bible said, there stood by them two men in white apparel. They said, you men of Galilee, why you stand ye gazing? This same Jesus that's taken from you shall so come in like manner. I won't want to be there when he left, but I'll tell you what I am going to get to do, I believe with all my heart. That same Jesus that went up, he's coming back. And we didn't get to see him go up, but if you're living, you'll get to see him come back. Hallelujah. He's wonderful in his leaving. Living. He's wonderful in his living in the church. He lives in us. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. He lives inside of us. He was wonderful in the love that he's shown to us and that he shed and broadened our heart. He was wonderful in his leading and is wonderful in his leading. The steps of a good man are led of the Lord and he leads us. But I'm going to tell you something else. He's going to be wonderful in his long-awaited return. Oh, I love that song. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. He's coming again. Sooner rather than later, he's coming. He'll be wonderful in that long-related return. I've tried to describe it almost every service I talk about it. because it's real to me. One of these days, and I talked with Shirley and Jimmy when he was conscious enough, and I said, we prayed for him. I said, now, Jimmy, here's the thing about it. Jesus is coming again, and we might all get to go to heaven together. And that's true, because he's coming again. We're going to get to see him. The only thing is it wonderful to you today? Is he to you a wonderful Savior? Have you ever trusted him as your Savior and Lord? If you haven't, do it, please, right now. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Trust him right now as your Savior. He's wonderful. All that I've given to you this morning, you could take those letters and go home and write out your own. Wonderful. But I hope that you'll remember that he's wonderful in creation. He's wonderful in the orchestration of nature and history. He's wonderful in his birth. He was wonderful in his death. Wonderful in his entrance into the lower parts of the earth and led captivity captive. He was wonderful in his resurrection. He's alive and he'll never die again. Wonderful in the fulfillment of his promises to disciple and to fulfill all the promises made to us. He's wonderful in his unction, his power. He has power to save to the uttermost all that call upon him. You say, Brother Billy, you don't know what I've done, but he does. And he did over 1900 years ago now when he hung on a cross. The Bible said he bore your sins in his own body on the tree, knew everything you'd ever do, and he died on that cross. And he's wonderful in his love, and he's wonderful in his long-awaited return. He's coming again. Today's the day of salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Would you bow your heads here and at home and in media audits? Would you all bow your heads right now? First of all, I want you to say this, if you know him. Would you say this? His name shall be called Wonderful. Would you right now just say, Dear Lord Jesus, you are wonderful. Thank you for your wonderful salvation. Thank you for your wonderful healings. Thank you for your wonderful provisions you've given me. Thank you for all that you've done for me and how you've blessed me. You're wonderful. Our Father, I can't describe you in this body, how wonderful you are to me, how you've blessed me and my family. That's one reason, Lord, I believe I'll have to have a new body to praise you aright in heaven for all eternity. Then I'll be able to praise you like I want to. God, I pray you'd help us. Then for those of you who are not saved, can I tell you, he is a wonderful, wonderful Savior. He'll save you right now. He's able to save to the uttermost all that call upon him. And I implore you right now in the media audience, radio audience, and in this building, if you do not know him, I ask you right now to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Heavenly Father, I pray now that you'd bless the hearts of those in the media audience and around the world. And I pray, God, that you'd bless these here gathered. Lord, I pray as we go through this Christmas season that we can ever say you are wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And God, I pray, God, that right now that not a person in this building nor in the sound of my voice anywhere would die and go to hell. I pray they know the real meaning of Christmas, Christ coming. And he's God's gift to this world that we might have everlasting life and they would be saved today. God, I ask God you'd speak to their heart. And God, we'll thank you and praise you.